Good morning, Hope College. Are you cold?
Yeah.
I'm cold. Praise the Lord. So grateful that you all are here this morning. We are welcoming our Hageman Faith Series speaker, and we want to give her some more time so you can sing to Jesus in your heart. Just sing to Jesus in your heart. But we're not going to have any music this morning. I'm going to welcome Jill Briscoe. You could give it up for her, please. She is our speaker. And Jill is also, in addition to chapel, she was at Gathering last night. Tonight she'll be over in Wynette, so just next door at 6 o'clock, doing a just very informal Q&A kind of interview thing if you want to know more about her life and her ministry. She's been married over 60 years now. Yeah, give it up for that. Hallelujah. Jesus, he's real. 60 years of marriage, and she just has a phenomenal ministry, and you want to get to know her a little bit more. So we'll have that this evening, and then also Tuesday night, there'll be sort of a bigger thing over in the Jack Miller Center in the music building for just kind of people in the community. It's really specific to like women only. So if you want to come, young ladies, a few, okay. If you want to have like some real conversations and learn about some real stuff from this woman who's done life for a while, come out to that. Also, Sandra McCracken is going to be at, I think, Jack Miller. Yep, there you go. At 7 o'clock Thursday. So make sure you come out to that if you have time. One more time, Joe Briscoe.
Thank you so much. So I'm going to talk fast. And I've picked some things that I shared with millennials all over the world not long ago. And some of you saw that. You were here last night, and I believe some of you are coming today. And let me tell you what it is. Meet Him on the Mountain is the talk. And we're talking about after Jesus had been born, lived, died, risen again, and hung around for 40 days instead of taking the plane home, first plane home. And why? Wouldn't you have thought, after all that, he would have wanted to go the day after he rose from the dead? Why did he stay 40 days? Well, you have to read the first chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and he had to stay because he had to be sure the disciples understood some things. Basically, he had risen from the dead. And so you say, well, really? Yes, like Thomas. He didn't believe. And of course, Jesus walked through a door and showed him his hands, remember? And he believed. So if one of the disciples, like Thomas, didn't believe, was doubting the whole thing was true, then what about the others? Let me read you the passage, very well known. It's about the Great Commission, go into all the world, not a little bit of it, all the world, all our world. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. In his resurrection body, he said, meet me on the mountain. What was he going to do? Ascend into heaven. Where was the mountain? Galilee. Meet me on the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Have you ever noticed the next three words? But some doubted. Huh? But some doubted. I had never noticed them until this year. How could it be? So I went to the word doubted and had about a day being absolutely amazed I'd missed it. Do you know what it means? It's used in the original language. For three different places, but two of them I'll mention. One of them when Peter was saying, if it's really you, Lord, walking on the water, tell me to come to you. And incredibly gets over the boat and walks Do you remember? And he actually got some steps on the water before he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind and the waves, and there's the word, and doubted and began to sink. What was he doubting? He began to sink. And Jesus said, "Where's your faith?" And caught him. And they got back in the boat. It's used there. It's used in Revelation 3:20, where after his resurrection and all of that, after he'd gone home to heaven, and the Holy Spirit came and churches began to be planted. One was in Laodicea. And the famous verse we use to help people ask Jesus into their heart, actually, a little out of context, is that verse, 3:20. Jesus is knocking on the door of a church that needs revival and saying, "Let me back in, guys. You're doing it all yourself. It's not going to work." And the word is half-hearted. Half-hearted. Doubted. Half-hearted. So that sort of lit up these verses for me. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, the mountain where Jesus had told them to go in his resurrection body. He's standing on the mountain in his resurrection body, and there's 11 left. Judas has gone to his reward. And some of them doubted. Half-hearted. Really? Really? Apparently. So, of course, I wanted to know which ones. And for good reason, apparently, we're not told which of the rest of the 11. Was it Nathanael, who apparently was an old man? He's there, and Jesus said to all of them, "Go into all the world." And how many of them were thinking, "What? You've been here 40 years in your resurrection body. Where are you going?" I'm sure that some of them, as he's going to heaven, saying, no, we could go home. We've been through hell with you. And so many of us are saying, get back to Galilee. Two of them had left their business. How had Peter's family managed for 3 years? Have you noticed he was a lousy fisherman? Every time you read about him, he hasn't caught anything. They were poor, and he took his partners, James and John, with him. They maybe were better fishermen, I don't know. But for 3 years, they left their wives and their children, and they followed Jesus through everything that went on. I cannot believe in Jerusalem, where they still were in the upper room, the families, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. I cannot believe they were not all those days saying, "I want to go home." Was that it? Which ones said, "I'm too old. I've retired." Maybe. Lord, maybe which of the others? We don't know. I'm glad we don't know, because it puts us all in that situation. And there will come a time for everybody that's listening to me to doubt, to hesitate, to need renewal and revival and not open the door to Jesus because we're doubting. Yes, there will. And the more effective you are for Jesus, the more times you will have, because the devil will attack you. He will attack your children. If you go into ministry, either as a layperson, stay in ministry, or professionally, your family are in danger. Before my husband and I immigrated to America, we were in mission for 13 years. Before that, we were in business. And when we began to be effective for Jesus, as individuals, Stuart Briscoe and Jill Briscoe, and then combined, we noticed some extraordinary things happening to our kids. I mean, extraordinary things in this fallen world. And a pastor, years ago, 60 years ago, more, said, Jill, the devil, like a roaring lion, is ever around the fold of the shepherd looking for the lambs. And he has been for our lambs, for your lambs, whether you're in ministry or as a layperson for the rest of your life. Because there's nothing gets to a mother or father more than what happens to your kids. Nothing. For me, as things began to happen to our children, it absorbed my mind. I remember when our eldest son was going through an incredible situation. I couldn't think of anything else. I got up with it, I went to bed, and I never slept with it, and I prayed for hours and hours and hours. And there was a time when we were in ministry by then in our church in America. And Stuart said, we have all this counseling to do. There's a couple whose marriage is falling apart. I've told them we'll have lunch with them. And I met him for lunch, and I simply put my Jesus smile on, and I wasn't there. Because I'd left the house that morning with another piece of information about what was happening to one of our children. I was panicked. I was frightened. But I joined in the conversation, apparently, with one part of my hearing. And at the end, Stuart said to me, Jill, where were you? You weren't here. And I was looking to you, and I gave a question, and you smiled and said, uh-huh. He said, I know where you were. You have to get hold of this. This is what the devil wants. He wants us so absorbed with what the lion is doing to one of our kids in the fold of the shepherd that it's affecting everything we're doing. And we went home, and my husband and I got on our knees for quite a while, sorted it out with God. I said, I don't know how to do it any other way. I want to. I can't live like this. I can't pray effectively like this, Lord. Help me. Help me with it. What was happening to all the families of these 11 for 3 years? I tell you, no question, the devil was working back home in Galilee. So Jesus has just said, okay, you're on your way. What did he mean? And then he ascended into heaven. Where are you going? I mean, at least if we're going to try and do some of this, you're going to stay like this in your resurrection body, right? I'm going, you're staying. Read the Acts of the Apostles. Wait till you're empowered by my Holy Spirit, my other self, Jesus without his body. One day, soon. Wait in Jerusalem till that happens. He never calls without equipping. Write that down. Whatever he asked you to do in your marriage, if your marriage lasts or disaster happens, there's just as much divorce among pastors and their wives as there is with the whole of the congregation, with the whole of the world at the moment. That's taken 30 years to accomplish, but the devil's done it. And if you stay as a lay person, Christians, I can't remember the last time we counseled. We have a huge counseling ministry across the state on all levels, particularly pornography, of Christians and pastors and wives now that are involved with it. And the devil is laughing, and nobody's going to Jerusalem, nobody's going to Judea, and nobody's certainly going to the end of the world. So knowing that in advance, for God knows everything, he is where I am, if you wish, and this is the line of time, and we're all on this, so he sees us before we were born, he sees whether we'll accept him, of course he does, he sees us die, he's here. He knows which of us will be half-hearted, which of us will hesitate. Yes, he does. As I thought about this and unpacked it at this IF gathering, they were commissioned to the call. They had a chance to choose to commit to the call of Christ, which all of us have received if we're believers. They waited in the upper room for the Spirit, came at Pentecost. When did it come for you? Are you sure that you have received Christ by his Spirit, his other self, the helper? Good. We need the helper to help. This ridiculous commission every one of us under the sound of my voice has heard. You bet. Life in the Spirit. I touched on it last night. How are we going to do it? By living by the Spirit and not in the flesh. Galatians 5, 16, 26. Go home and, not home, go to your little room or wherever you are, your dorm, and read that again. Are you in step with the Spirit or are you in step with the flesh, yourself? Are you changing your world? Go where you're sent, stay where you're put until God leads you back or out as surely as he's going to lead you in, and give what you've got, which is Jesus. What else do we have? The talents and gifts he gave us, whatever they are going to be used for the rest of your life, whatever they are, and every single person is gifted. He never calls without equipping. It wouldn't be fair to say, go here, speak to them, nurse this person, rescue that person in prostitution, unless he was within. He'd many times like not to be in us, but he promised never to leave us. So you can grieve him, you can resist him, you can quench him, but you can't order him out of your heart once he's there. So it's pretty miserable for him. Has been in my life sometimes. And so he knocks within and says, hey, just give me all your heart, will you, Jill? Well, I thought I did. Well, you didn't. You've known me a long time. There were people that knew me 3 glorious years. And when I told them I was leaving, they were staying, but I would come back in my spirit, wait for that, then go into Jerusalem, Judea, etc., etc. One of the 11 doubted. And as my habit is, when Stuart doesn't know what to do with me, he's my husband, he says, go and write a poem. That always helps me. So let me read you my poem. It's called Meet Me on the Mountain. Excuse me. Have you met him at the lakeside? Did you hear his still small voice? Did he call you there to follow him and said, you have a choice? And did half of you say, yes, Lord, and have half a mind to start? Did you think he didn't notice when you gave him half your heart? He saw it on the day he met disciples on the mountain. He gave them all another chance to make their whole lives count. Some said that day, what comes my way, O Lord, I'll do my part. Dear Lord, I'll be obedient and give you all my heart. I love for you, I'll speak for truth and tell the gospel story. I live from this day forward and give you all the glory. Wherever you send me, use me, send me. Use me, spend me. I will speak for you. Help me glorify your name. Be with me, see me through. So as we leave this mountaintop, will you go for him or stay? Continue on half-heartedly or give it all away? Will you yield yourself from this day on? Receive the Spirit's call. Say, Jesus, I give all to you, not half my heart. My all. Pray with me. listen to our hearts, Lord. Of course you do. You have been. You are. We're not 11. We're hundreds. You see it. You know it. Those of us who even now are hesitating, those of us who are doubting. And you see the future because you are outside our past, present, and future. And you see which of us will stand on a mountain somewhere in our life, perhaps in a broken marriage, perhaps watching one of our kids go through hell. And we'll doubt. Lord, I would pray for every single person in the sound of my voice at this point, in the quietness, that loud and clear in this quietness, each of us may hear the Spirit of God speak to us about what has just been said. Hear our hearts, Lord. Let our cry come unto thee. Yes. Now, Lord, help us get alone somewhere today. Find our mountain and hear from you what's next. Thank you for Hope College. The privilege all of us are to be here at this moment, at this day. Bring revival, renewal to everyone in the sound of my voice. And make this institution a power for you in our generation. Because we were here this morning. Thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do. Jesus, we love you, but not enough. Jesus, we'll serve you wherever. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Thank you, we can always meet you on the mountain, moment by moment and day by day. Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.